The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We head to Greystone where Professor John Daly joins us. He's head of the anthropology department at the University of Arkansas. John, I've known you a long time. I've followed your career since you came on the scene winning the PGA. I think it was in, 91. We have a lot of radio listeners. What would you describe what this new look of yours? You're looking quite overwhelming with that beard.
Well, you know, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer last year, and I've had three treatments. Two weren't the best, and the last one was benign. So now I go every 6 months. I go this in October, get it done again. If it's benign, I go once a year for 5 years and hopefully kick this cancer's you know what. So, and I decide everybody shaves everything when they get cancer. I said, I'm just going to grow everything because you don't know how much longer stuff's going to grow, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know why you said that to me, but anyway, you look great. I'm so glad to hear I'm so glad to hear the news. But anyway, it's fantastic to hear you, and I just wish that I only wish that you had a. I hope you had a great time today. I know you, a lot of the guys you played with. So how did it go?
It went great. Seeing Wimp again. He's the legendary Alabama coach. Went up against my coach, Nolan Richardson, a bunch of times, and that's when both schools were really, really great in basketball, and Musselman's brought us back, and so I'm just excited. It was a great day. Taylor Hicks, a good buddy of mine, and Mikey from REM, I mean, the legend singer. We just had a great time, it's a wonderful day. We don't get to see these guys too much, and to be able to go out and play golf with them and have such fun like we did was just awesome.
Well, people that know you know how much you care about the Razorbacks, and as I've gotten to know you better, I've learned it even more. I mean, you are an amazingly passionate fan. So let's start with basketball. We just finished that season. It looked like the good old days of old. We had Coach Richardson on a couple of weeks ago, and watching Coach Musselman, it felt like 94 all over again, didn't it?
It did. We missed a few free throws against the Baylor game. I think we're the only team that really gave Baylor a run at it through this tournament. And I know get us back to the Sweet 16. I know Musselman and our players wanted a little bit more, but we're proud of him. I mean, he's bringing it back. And I'm just proud of Razorback Sports. I'm looking at the softball girls. They're doing great. They're seventh in the country. Our baseball team's switching back to 1-2 with Van Horn. And, our golf team's doing great. Everything in Arkansas is doing great, and Coach Pittman's going to bring us back in football. So things are looking up for Razorbacks, and I'm just excited to see it. We've waited a long time for this, and hopefully we can keep it going. And my son's going to be attending the University of Arkansas in September on the golf team, so I'm excited about that as well.
Let's talk about him for a second, because I know how proud you are. Everybody wants to be like their dad, but did you either encourage him or discourage him from following your footsteps?
I told my son, if you do the opposite of your dad, you're going to win 100 majors, son. You'll be all right. But no, I taught him the grip, and taught him how to chip and putt when he was about 2 years old, and he fell in love with the game, and he's dedicated to it. I'm one of those stay-away dads. I let his coaches do their thing, and I don't ever tell him anything unless he asks me. I'm just not that kind of dad. I want him to learn on his own, and he's progressed really well. He won a big tournament in Innsbruck a couple weeks ago, only junior to shoot under par. So it's been great watching him grow and become such a great player. And and everything about playing golf, it's all about the short game, and my son's doing really well with that. So I'm excited for him.
John, you joke about your career, but I've been around long enough to have been there, and I'll never forget you had won the PGA, and I was covering the Masters the next year, and I'd never seen anything like the crowds at Augusta until then. This is pre-Tiger, of course, following you around, because, for those who were not there at the beginning of John Daly's career, it's almost indescribable, John. I don't know how much of it you remember, but what was that like? I mean, you literally come out of nowhere and win the PGA as the fifth or sixth alternate. You're at Augusta the next April, and the whole world is revolving around you.
It's great. I mean, you know, the dream I always had was to hopefully win a lot of golf tournaments, but hopefully have the fans on my side. And I'm down here in Birmingham, Alabama, Roll Tide country, and I got a lot of fans here. So, and I'm a Razorback. So, but you know, it was great. And to win the British Open in '95, Paul, was one of the dreams of mine, to win at St. Andrews, and it came true. And it kind of solidified that, hey, you know, I can do it again. And I wish I'd have done a few more, but this game's very difficult and it's hard. There's so many great players out here on any tour to try and win. Just having a chance to win is really cool, to get that adrenaline fired back up and get those juices flowing again. So it was, like last week was a great week, but any tour you try and play and try and win on, everybody knows how hard it is. But to have the fans the way I've had them all through these years, and not about my good and bad stuff that I've done, just being honest with them, I think, has really helped a lot.
John, nearly won last Sunday. But John, I'm so interested that you said that, because, I mean, if you win one major and never win another one, you're still in rarefied air. But when you won it, when you won the British, it was almost like, hey, this guy is for real. I mean, I know that you knew that, but a lot of other people never really gave you that credit. I know you're not after that. You weren't after that. You were just out there to be the best you could be. But how did that feel finally for the golf world, especially the media, who love following you but maybe didn't give you much credit, to have to acknowledge that you're a two-time major champion? That's pretty significant.
It's cool. I mean, to do it before the age of, you know, 30, it was like only five of us at that time, and now I think there's been four or five other guys that have done that. But you know, it's, to win at St. Andrews, the home of golf, is something special. It's like, you know, I dreamed of it, you know, and I was one of those Americans that went over and fell in love with Lynx Golf. And I think, for, I can speak for most Americans, you either love Lynx Golf over there or you don't like it. And fortunately, I loved it. I love the imagination of the game of golf that can bring to your mind, hitting shots that you're not well accustomed to hitting, which you have to do over there, and dealing with the elements of the rain and the wind and the, you know, and the bunkers in the middle of the fairways and stuff. A lot of our guys don't like that, but a lot of our guys do. And I fell in love with it, and to win at the home of golf, you know, a redneck boy like me from Arkansas, is pretty special.
Well, John, you are beloved, and you know that. We have people here always bring you up. I know how proud the people in Arkansas are, but we all love you, and keep coming back, and thanks for making time. Hope to talk to you again and see you very soon.
Always for you, Paul. Love your show, and always will, buddy. You keep going. Take care.
You got it. The one and only John Daly joining us from Greystone, where he's just completed the Pro-Am round, and we'll talk to so many other golfers and celebrities as we navigate our way through a very busy Wednesday afternoon. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here as we go back to Greystone. And Nate Oates joins us, the head coach at the University of Alabama, coming off of a spectacular season where Coach Oates led the Tide to a SEC championship and quite a run in March. Coach, thank you for being here. I hope you had a good day today, and we look forward to conversing. How'd it go today?
It was good. I had fun. Mark O'Meara was our pro. He was great. Got a few tips. My game's not very good. I started golfing during COVID last summer, so I don't think anybody expected too much, but I had fun. It was was good. It was fun to be out there. So got to meet Charles Barkley in person. We had texted a little bit during the tournament run. He was good. I got to see my former boss, Alan Green. So it was a good day all in all. I was with JP, you know, famous quarterback at Alabama. He was my partner the whole time. So we had a good time.
I want to ask you about another golf round. I saw some pictures a week or two ago. You were down in Florida somewhere, and you played with Rick Pitino. Of course, the last time we saw you, we were talking about Rick Pitino, your first round opponent. What was that experience like?
Yeah, that was actually pretty fun. There's a big Alabama fan, John McMahon, that was friends with Rick. CM Newton had introduced him.
Sure.
And John took me down there, and we had dinner Thursday, played a round of golf with Rick and his son Richard, who I'd known for a while, on Friday morning. He talked a little hoop, and then I came home, and it was fun. He put something out there about beating him in the tournament and taking his money. The beating him in the tournament was true, as everybody saw. Taking his money was absolutely false. He's a much better golfer than I am. There's a lot of sand bunkers on that course. I got a lot of practice sitting out of the sand that particular day.
Now, Coach, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword about playing golf well. I played in a million of these things, and with each one, I got worse and decided to give up the game. But you don't want – I once played golf about 30 years ago at the SEC media – not media days, the spring meetings with the athletic director at Alabama. He got a hole-in-one, and he literally begged me, please do not put that in your newspaper article because everybody thinks I play too much golf. I know that's not your problem. But it is a great way to experience a lot of different thoughts. What do you get from the golf course other than – a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, nobody's going to accuse me of playing too much golf. I contributed to the cause on one hole today. On hole 14, it was a par 3. I got it in 2 with my handicap. I think it was a net 1, so I contributed one hole out of 18. I actually like being out. I like being outside, get a little exercise. It gives you a little something to do outside of basketball. The weather's great. In Alabama in the spring when the season's over. I didn't even own a set of clubs until I got to Alabama. They told me I was gonna need to learn how to play golf. I told them I didn't have clubs. They got me a set of clubs through the golf team. I used them twice my first summer. And then during COVID, I figured I'd try to pick it up a little bit. I did a little last summer and a few times this year, and I stink, kind of like you said, but it is fun to get outside, fun to go with some people, like the trip to Miami with Pitino was pretty cool. I was a high school coach 8 years ago. I don't think I would have dreamt I was golfing with Rick Pitino at the time, you know, on a pretty nice course in Miami. So it lets you do some pretty cool things too in life.
Well, speaking, Coach, about that, the transition from the high school coach in Michigan to what you are now, you were certainly one of the topics of conversation during March Madness. I know Greg Byrne, the athletic director, extended your contract. Your name was connected to some pretty high-profile jobs. How are you compressing all of this? And you still seem pretty grounded to me. What's it been like?
You know what? I mean, I was happy that Greg extended me. I like it in Alabama a lot. I like working with Greg. I like working with the staff we have. I want to continue to build this thing. So I didn't mind that he pretty much took me out of contention for a lot of those jobs that maybe my name came up, because I really don't want to move. I've got 3 young girls that are, you know, I've got a daughter going into her senior year of high school, and you know, an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old. So my family likes it there. We'd like to be there a long time. We'd like to build it. I just think we just keep getting better. I think, you know, it kind of eliminated a lot of those distractions as you got close to the end of the year. And now we can just focus on recruiting and building this program. And, you know, we kind of got the snowball rolling now. You get some momentum going, you win. You know, we were the only high major team to win a regular season and the conference tournament both. Now recruiting's going better. People want to be associated with winners. So we just got to keep the momentum rolling at this point. And, you know, having to entertain all kinds of different jobs as your name comes up, to me, that's just a big distraction. So I was thankful Greg extended us. Let's get that out of the way and let's keep moving with what we're building here.
Finally, Coach, you mentioned the residual because recruiting looks like it's through the roof. How does that work? Because people, I mean, you're already in on a lot of good players, but being in what makes it so much easier? Is it all the attention? Is it in the tournament? Because it just seems like everything has gone your way, at least from a recruiting standpoint. Like, I'm sure everything has not, but it just seems that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's going well. Everything doesn't go your way. I don't think everything goes your way in anything. But I think the fact that, you know, we were in the national spotlight for January, February, March, we play an exciting brand. I mean, some of the games that we played, some of the numbers we put up, the threes we make, you know, it's a system. Players, it's a modern system of basketball, so it makes it easier to recruit the higher-level athletes, the guys that want to go play. I feel like we play a similar style to what they're playing in the NBA. A lot of them, the ball moves, it's fast, the floor spread. You know, I think that, along with the fact we're selling a great brand. I mean, Alabama's got a national brand. It helps if football's been, you know, so good for so long. We've got a national brand, and now we're getting basketball up to a higher level and kind of catching up with some of the other sports at Alabama. I just think it's kids want to play for Alabama. They want to play in a style that we're playing, and they want to play for a winner, and we've got all that going right now.
Coach, finally, what's the rest of your summer look like?
Well, you know, it comes open in June, so May's a little slow. You know, all of our guys, we just had graduation this past weekend. All of our guys took off for a couple weeks. They come back the last week of May, right after my girls get out of school. So we're going to go to Disney for a week with the family, get back. Opens up in June. I'm not quite sure what the it's going to look like as far as getting out to recruit in June, but we'll be able to have kids on campus in June. And then July, it looks like we're back to recruiting, like out on the road, which I've missed. It's been great being able to be home as much as I have, but you also miss getting out and seeing the recruits live and in person. It's been different not being able to see any of the recruits other than on video, and it's different on video. So we'll get out in July. We'll work our guys out for 8 weeks in the summer. We'll have camps again. It'd be great to have kids back on campus for camps. In August, we'll kind of wrap up the summer individual skill workouts, send our guys home for a couple weeks, get them back in school, and start up again late August and get ourselves ready to have another good year next fall.
Coach, thanks. As always, hope to see you on campus very soon. We are about to make that transition. So thank you, and look forward to chatting. It's always great.
No, I appreciate you having me on, Paul. And hopefully we see you in the fall. It'll be great to have you guys back on campus again this year.
Can't wait. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nate Oates joining us from Greystone, where the Regents Tradition Pro-Am going on all day long. And we still have a long way to go. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. What an afternoon this has been. And we thank all of you for being with us. So many fantastic guests, from Daly to Taylor, Commissioner Sankey, Kirby Smart. And I'm leaving out probably a million of them, but it was very memorable, to say the least. We are going to go back to the phones, yes, right now, a little bit later than normal, but the phone lines are now open if you'd like to grab a few, and they are free, at 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. We don't have any calls on the board because we haven't taken a call since last night, so you can get in without much of a delay. Before we do that, we do want to go back to the beginning of the program. I realize some of you were elsewhere, but Charles Barkley was with us, our first guest. We also had Coach Harsin on, and this is what he said about the NIL debate.
I know how it would have worked. Me and Bo would have made a lot of money. But that being said, first of all, I love all my players in basketball and football. I'm not sure how this name and likeness thing is going to work. I think it's going to cause a lot of issues, because you think about this. I was talking to Bo about this earlier. Bo's going to make a lot of money in jerseys. He's probably going to get a car deal. But what about the big, ugly offensive lineman? Nobody's going to be buying their jersey. They're probably not going to get a car deal. Nobody's going to be buying a defensive lineman's jersey. I think it's going to create a lot of resentment among teammates. So I'm really concerned about the name and likeness thing going forward. And let's be realistic. Paul, all these idiots on television like myself, like, well, we got to let these players make all this money. Let's be realistic. This notion that every player on these college teams is going to be making a crap load of money is total crap. There's a couple of players on every college sport that's going to make some money. But I think it's not this thing where everybody's going to be making money. I don't agree with that. I really don't. I'm concerned going forward how it's going to work, to be honest with you. But let me tell you my biggest problem with this whole thing, Paul, is I hate when people tell kids getting a free education is nothing. We're only talking about a small percentage of these guys who are going to go pro. We're only talking about a small percentage that's going to make money with name and likeness. But my biggest problem with this whole thing is, Paul, telling young kids, especially young black kids, getting a free education is nothing. I have a big problem with that.
How do you manage it, though, Charles, before you go? Because it's happening, like it or not.
You know, no, Paul, and first of all, I've been asking that question for the last 20 years, and I'm not going to be one of those talking heads on television who act like he knows everything. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. I don't know how to do it the right way. I just want the players taken care of, but just saying they can sell their name, image, and likeness, that to me, I just don't know how it's going to work. I wish I could give you, I could say, well, all these kids going to make a lot of money and it's not going to create jealousy. And I just don't know the answer to how to do it, Paul. I really don't.
Well, there you go. That we have had many great interviews today. Commissioner Sankey tried to explain NIL and where they are on the CFP, the transfer situation. He mentioned the AD's meeting about that, among other issues, last week. But NIL has really been the topic today in before we were able to get to your call. So let's do that and do it right now. Why wait? Let's talk about so many other things. Let's check in with, as soon as I can see where we are, Stephen is up next. Stephen, go right ahead. Stephen, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Paul. Glad to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I just was listening to that caller. Well, I'm going to tell you, my daughter is a student at the University of Alabama. She's attending on a presidential scholarship. They value that scholarship at $300,000. And that is just tuition and class fees. So, and I'm paying the rest of it, the room and board, and that adds up to a lot. I personally, I think I would value a full ride scholarship at the University of Alabama to about $100,000 a year. Now, that was just to make a point. But you have a lot of the coaches that have investments, such as Nick Saban Mercedes dealership. And I'm a big Nick Saban fan, but if he would say, all right, guys, tell you what, we're going to film some boosters done give some money for me to film some commercials. I give y'all all $5,000 to appear in my commercial. He could do that with every one of his scholarship players. Kind of create an advantage over the colleges that aren't quite as well funded.
Hey, very interesting point there. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Catherine is up next in Florida. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Paul. I'm just anxious to ask you a question. I listened to you say that you covered Charles Barkley when he played at Auburn. I don't know if you remember a young player named Frank Ford.
Of course I do. Yeah, he was fantastic.
Well, he's from our hometown here in Kissimmee.
Oh, I do remember
Florida.
That now. Yeah, no, I remember Frank very well.
Well, a very, very nice young man, came from a wonderful family. And his story was he played basketball ever since he was young with a neighbor kid of his, okay? They grew up side by side at their grandparents' house playing ball. Well, Frank was on and the other young man was McCrimmon. Well, they were on our team when we won a state basketball tournament here in Florida, 1983. And it was really exciting. We had a coach who came from Indiana. His name was Ed Kirshner. He's the winningest high school basketball coach here in Florida. Just an awesome person. And we didn't even really know that you could win a state tournament in basketball, but Ed did that. And then also he and a friend of ours started it was called the Great Florida Shootout. And they brought players they'd have a tournament at Christmas time. The Rotary helped sponsor it. And they would bring players from all over Florida. We got to meet Rasheed Wallace and then the Hurley brothers. It was really exciting, but it was sort of neat to hear that. We followed Charles and, you know, Auburn during that time. And I don't know, Paul, how far they ever got during March Madness.
Well, they did. The year Barkley was there, the only year they went to the, let's see, he was there in 84. He was there in 82, 83, and 84. I don't think they ever won an NCAA tournament game. They did win the SEC basketball tournament in 84,
okay.
But I believe, can't remember if he left after 84. I think I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure they lost in the first round in the year that they were in the NCAA tournament.
Well, that was really cool. I mean, like I say, you know, basketball wasn't really big here in our area, and I'm not even sure how, you know, Frank got recruited, but
Catherine, having covering a lot of Auburn back then, there was quite a pipeline to Georgia and Florida for Auburn football and basketball. Auburn is not very far from the Panhandle, and they were able to really lock into that part of the state. And I realize Kissimmee is not in the Panhandle, but Auburn at that time was very strong in Florida.
Well, I want to tell you, we're really enjoying the show today. The interviews are just awesome. It's just real relaxed. Well, thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Talking with
you. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's always a special day, and it was sad last year when we couldn't do it, and we were able to get it in today, thank goodness. Scrapper is in Arkansas, and you're on the air. Hello, Scrapper.
Hello, Paul. I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the interview with John Daly.
Thank you.
Being from Arkansas. And I truly believe he's been more of the people's fan or the fans have been more, you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, for a guy that's a multi-zillionaire and flies around the country in private planes with Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan, he is one of the, I meant John, he is one of the most honest, down-to-earth guys I've ever I've ever met. I heard John Daly many years ago, the first time I met him, he was really at a tough time in his life, and he opened his heart, and it just, he won me as a fan forever, and you know what I'm talking about. John doesn't try to act like he's anybody special, even though he really is.
I know. Absolutely, the fans loved him. I have one more little 10-second thing to say. I come from a really small town in Arkansas, Nashville, Arkansas, and our football team is the Nashville Scrappers. We are 37th in all-time wins in the United States of America in a town of 5,000. We have over 800 high school wins.
That is amazing. That is truly remarkable, Scrapper. Well, thank you for sharing that. Let me check in with Billy from Philly. Hey, Billy.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hey there.
I had a couple of thoughts on this interview with Barkley. First of all, he is really smart. He's generally right about almost everything, and you are wise to have him on the show and listen to him.
Thank you.
He raises he's terrific. He raises a very serious issue, too many of them, that will disrupt the whole college morale system of athletes and all that. When you see this kind of a problem, stop. Don't go forward. We're not going to do, this cannot be the issue that decides anything. What you have to do is line up the real powerful interests, and this is a big money trade, and their lawyers, and figure out, don't let the first political guy set the tone or establish the rules. Get the players who really matter, get them in a room, start talking about what really matters, and you can figure out a system that rewards not this player but not that player, but that can reward athletes playing in these big schools that made a lot of money with money, fairly. To me, football or basketball draws the big money. So what you do is you make a pool. Whether you put the softball team in it or not, that's what you have to kind of hack out. But the idea is that you have to decide that we've got a lot of money. I'd like to see everybody receive money maybe 5 years after they graduate, or when they graduate, there will be a predetermined, perhaps, income that will go to every player who play on these teams. It'll have to be divided evenly so everyone shares. This is a team after all. But whether I'm right or I'm wrong doesn't matter. What matters is you don't jump at the first legal issue and make a terrible decision because you have to. It becomes political. You don't want a political decision. You want a rational decision that everybody gets a chance to make their point, think it through, recognize that these players deserve a cut, and then figure out how to do it fairly. Now, finding people in the NCAA, in the various schools, that will do this is not going to be easy. But that's the American system. You just have to sit it out. But Barkley's main thrust, sit it out. Don't move yet. Let's try to get this right once is the right way to go.
Billy, what a great call. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We're open for business at 855-242-7285. After an avalanche of great guests, we are going to devote the rest of the hour and 15 minutes to you. And we are, don't forget, the governor of Georgia tomorrow, Brian Kemp, on the NIL legislation there. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Busy day at the Regions, and we're taking your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. Terry is up next. Good afternoon, Terry.
Good afternoon. Here's an 18 playoff scenario for you.
Okay.
The Sunday afternoon after the SEC championship games and all the other championship games,
eight teams are announced as the playoff teams. One will play eight at the naturally one stadium. So last year, if you kind of follow the logic, 6, 7, and 8 should be the most deserving teams. So Coastal Carolina next Saturday night is at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Cincinnati goes to Clemson. And you have four games the first Saturday after the conference championship games. There's your playoffs. Now you've got your Final Four after the bowls, and it just takes one more week.
You know, that makes more sense than any of the ones I've heard so far. And, you know, really the only game you have on that other day is the Army-Navy game. And I'm not looking to diminish the importance of that, but you could figure out a television spot for that. Make it early. Make it a 12 o'clock game.
Right, or they'd be proud to do it the very next week, whatever they had to do.
Yeah.
But you'd have some fascinating games, and they'd be at the four top seeds home stadiums on Saturday the very next week. How big would that be?
See, I think you're right. That's what you have to do. And that week, I don't think you have bowl games yet, so you're not even interfering with that.
I just thought that may be a sensible suggestion for how to do eight teams. And you could do it next year. They could vote on that in a month.
Well, that's unlikely. Terry, I don't know if these people could do anything in a month, but it's I like it. I'm going to pass it along. Or maybe one of the people involved or all of them are watching. Appreciate the call. Bradley is up next. Good afternoon, Bradley. You're on the air. No, you're not. I know that sound. Randy in Mississippi is up next. Hello, Randy.
Hey there, Paul. Let me get y'all speaking. Sitting here trying to do a little work.
Sure.
Anyway, I called the other day and had to hang up. Yesterday, we had a tornado come right above my house.
Oh, my goodness.
It didn't touch down, but it tore up a bunch of trees and a lot of other stuff here in our neighborhood, but we come out all right because it was still up in the air, but it was pulling.
Where in Mississippi do you live?
We're in Flowood, Mississippi, which is on the border of Jackson. So really,
okay, sure.
Jackson.
Yeah, I know it's we're still. Yesterday, really for the last two or three days, tornadoes have been ripping through, but we're still in the worst part of the tornado season. Usually, not that I'm an expert, but usually once you get into May, they start to move a little bit more toward the Midwest than the Deep South. But we haven't shaken these things yet.
Yeah, we had about 10 minutes notice, and normally, I'm one of these dumb Southerners that when they say a tornado warning, we go outside and look so we can see.
Oh, yeah, no, I was outside watching the worst tornado that's ever come through the South, but that's okay. Whatever we are.
Yeah, this one, my wife said that they said that you need to get in a safe place now, and I looked out and seen how dark it was. So we all headed to the bathroom. I got one. That's what I've been doing today is I cleaned up the yard, and then I'm changing out a bathtub. But now the reason I called in was like everybody else. It's this NIL or whatever we're calling it. It's my question is anybody going to really think about, the players and the teams? Because, I'm an Alabama fan, but if I was a player, I would want to go to one of the top teams to get the most recognition that I could possibly get. That's just another thing that's going to cause, I think, the rich to get richer. It may not. It may make a power shift in power, but that's just my thought.
No, Randy, I think you're 100% right. We're up against the hour, but hey, glad you got through the storm safely. Sorry you went through it. But no, I think the easy not the easy solution, but the easy analysis of this is it's not going to change anyone other than the top teams are just going to separate themselves. even more. We have an hour to go. We look forward to talking to you right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.